This is a production of Memberchare Media, a ministry of TWR. It's copyrighted and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
This is our third segment in this continuing series on sexual wholeness. This is Brent, and I'm here with my friend Paul. And Paul, you said that for this section, we wanted to talk about sexual history.
That's the importance of looking back, looking over our sexual history. Now, the first thing that people usually think is, well, you know what? Wait a minute. I don't have a sexual history. I was a virgin when I got married, and the only person I've ever been with sexually is my spouse. So I don't have a sexual history. Sexual history is not sex. Sexual history is, when did we get messages about our sexuality? When was the first time we maybe saw something that we shouldn't see? When was the first time that we became aware of anything sexual? Most people have some type of a history. Doesn't mean that they had to be involved with it. Maybe it was the first time they saw something, that they heard something. Because when those things happen, we begin to tell ourselves things about it. We begin to have certain feelings. What I usually encourage people to do is to flip a legal pad sideways and put about five lines on it and come up with different columns. The first one is age, the second one's the event, third one would be feelings that happened, the fourth one would be kind of what did that say about me, and then the fifth column is what was going on in the family at the time. Because a lot of people, when they start to look back over their sexual history, the importance of having the family column there is not to blame family, to not judge family, but to say, what was going on when these things were happening? I was working with someone who, when he went through his, he hit an area where he was able to see in his age from about 10 till about 14, he was exposed to a lot of sexual things, babysitters who were doing things, things that he was able to view. And, you know, the feelings that he had, you know, were some shame, some confusion. And he was honest. He said some enjoyment. You know, the self-statements that he had was, you know, I was kind of powerless. But the thing that really impacted him the most was that when he looked at what was going on in the family, his parents weren't around. And all he kept saying was, where were my parents? Where were my parents when this was going on? I was doing X, Y, and Z, and where were my parents? Why weren't they there to tell me to stop? Mm. Why weren't they there to say I shouldn't be doing that? Why weren't they asking me anything? Where were my parents? So, and again, it wasn't to cast blame, because that's never productive in therapy. But it allowed him to get some perspective. So the importance of the sexual history is now I get a look at all the messages that have shaped my sexuality, starting at an early age. When's our very first sexual memory? Very first sexual memory. And again, it's not something that necessarily we're involved in, that we did on purpose. You know, a lot of people, it'll be, you know, being in a bathtub and they remember that they felt a certain way. And what kind of message did they give themselves about it? Those are usually shame messages. What starts to happen is that starts to shape that person's sexuality. Sometimes all sexual history things don't have to be bad. My very first memory was I lived in a small town in Iowa, and kids all played together, hanging out, and there was this shack that we played in, and I went down there one time, and there were two boys in there being inappropriate with each other. And I got pushed in the room, and I felt really, really scared. I felt ashamed, and I felt like I had done something wrong. And I was either 4 or 5. I can't really remember. And I ran back home, and I talk all the time. I always have. My mom told me when I was little I had flapping mouth disease. And I was quiet. And so my mom said, well, what's wrong? And I remember this, sitting on the floor in the kitchen and her saying, what's wrong? And I said, nothing. And she said, no, sweetie, something's wrong. Tell mommy what's wrong. And she sat down beside me, and I just started to cry. And she talked with me about it. She was wonderful about it. She talked to the kids' parents. So sexual history doesn't always mean the bad stuff. It's what kind of messages have we gotten about our sexuality to go through it? Sometimes it's crushes. What kind of relationships did we have with people? How have we viewed relationships? Have we viewed relationships as something that's off and distant? You know, our first kiss. Kisses are part of sexuality too. So it's going over and looking over everything and starting to get some of the main messages and some of the main themes that we have about sex and sexuality. For most people, they find it really refreshing, that they've never looked at it before. Painful, but refreshing on the backside. They've been able to look at everything as a whole and begin to make more sense of why do they see things the way that they see them now.
Okay, but now I'm thinking, wow, this is really deep stuff. But I'm sitting in my living room or in the den or in my wherever out in the back porch listening to this program, and I'm saying, you know, I was minding my own business, feeling okay, working hard, feeling stress, feeling all kinds of different things, and you guys come into my life on this evening, and you start talking about all this stuff, and you're telling me that I have to start thinking a whole lot about this stuff when I didn't really even have any complaints about this other than I was worried that I might be focusing my thoughts too much or I may have been visiting the computer. Now, you're taking all of those things and you're making me go way back into my childhood. Isn't that just like you therapists? So, you know, I mean, is that really what we're trying to do?
I don't think we're necessarily trying to do therapy via radio, but sometimes we have to look at our history to make our presence make sense, make our present time make sense. Going back and looking at the history is paying off the debt. When Julie and I first got married, we had credit cards. And as all young couples, with the joy of credit cards, we would charge up a whole bunch of money on our credit cards. And we were able to function like that for quite a while until we looked at the fact that, wait a minute, we had this really big credit card debt. The wonderful thing about credit card debt is it doesn't pop up in front of me every day. I can still pull money out of my wallet, but that debt's still there. And as we began to get serious about our finances, we had to look at, wait a minute, there's a debt that we have to pay off. Maybe we don't pay it off all at once. But again, I think even in the last time we talked, we said the first conversation we have to have is that honest conversation with ourselves to say, wait a minute, I need to look at this. I need to look at this, but now my focus is to pay it off. I encourage people to look at their history because it's their history. It's not their present, and it doesn't have to be their future. But if we don't change the patterns of our history, it usually is going to be our present, and it usually ends up being our future too. So the purpose isn't to go back and look awful at ourselves. It's to say, wait a minute, I've made a choice to make a change here. I want to go back and really take a look at this to begin to really have all the freedom and the wholeness that I can have.
So the history part of this, if I can make some summaries here, is that what we want you to do is to think back to see if there's anything that explains how you feel the way you do in
Absolutely.
Response to what you do, and that might give you some insight into what's going on with yourself. In fact, let's say that you had an experience similar to Paul where you got into something that you weren't expecting. It caused all kinds of feeling responses. You felt bad about it. You got pensive about it, thoughtful and quiet and hurt and scared. And instead of having that very nice mother-son interaction where she advocated for you and took care of it, for the time being, you were guilted and shamed even worse by your authority parental figures, and it just enhanced the fact that you are a worthless person. Well, if that's the kind of history that comes out when you think about this, that sort of explains why you're so completely hard on yourself about any sort of failure, whether it be sexual or interpersonal or emotional or work, and how you completely denigrate yourself down to zero.
Right. It's huge shaping of self-talk because it doesn't just stay with our sexuality. Shame doesn't zero in on one area. It becomes broad-based, impacts all areas, how we're thinking, feeling, and acting.
Okay. Well, you know, now we come to the homework assignment phase of the program again. And man, I feel like I'm making a whole lot of unrealistic assumptions or assignments for you. But as you think through your own sexual history over the next period of time before you listen to us again, look at what happened, look at what you were thinking, look at how you felt about what you were thinking, look at what was going on in your family, not to create a horrendously depressive week for yourself, but simply to say, this is an understanding process, this is a discovery process that I'm going through in order to help me better manage this aspect of my life in the future. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this MemberCare Media presentation. We hope you found it helpful. Please explore the many other topics on this website. We invite your comments and your suggestions. This feature may not be reproduced without written permission.